Welcome to episode 518 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay and George. And although Lindsay will argue that Finland is magical all year round, during the colder months, Finland transforms into a winter wonderland, complete with beautiful snow-covered vistas, the real Santa Claus, northern lights, and enough indoor and outdoor activities to delight the whole family. Lindsay's here to share a few of her favorite winter adventures with us and get you dreaming about your next winter vacation. So let's get started. So this is good timing. People start thinking about Santa Claus and Christmas. So
what is this winter vacation you talk of? I've never heard of that.
Well, it's not just all outdoor activities. I think people think, oh, it's snowy. I'm going to be freezing my butt off.
Yep, pretty much.
But that's not really the case because there's so much to do. It's not just all outdoor. I mean, saunas are inside.
So you don't have to just wear ski pants all the time.
No, you don't. I did not wear, but I did wear ski pants.
Nice. So you went last winter.
Yes.
Right. What month did you go?
February.
Okay.
In March.
So
I was gone for so long, I had to go look because I was traveling for like 90 days. February and March. So it wasn't like as cold.
This wasn't your first trip to Finland though, right?
No.
Okay.
No. This was my first time to see the real Santa Claus though.
This is my- Okay, kids. So did you fly into the same airport? Is it the same?
So this trip was a little long. So I did fly into Helsinki, the same airport, yes. And then from there flew to Oulu and spent some time in Oulu and then took a train to Rovaniemi, which I'm going to butcher. It's been so long now. I'm so sorry. I'm going to be an uncultured swine and I'm going to butcher everything that I was pronouncing perfectly 4 months ago.
Was this a hosted trip or were you kind of making this up and spending some time there?
Part of it was hosted. Yes. The beginning or the middle part, I should say, was hosted. So from Oulu to Rovaniemi was hosted. Okay.
So, all right, let's start at the beginning. What did you do?
So I ate my body weight in delicious Finnish food and got into every sauna that I could possibly get into, which was very easy to do when there are more saunas in Finland than there are cars. And they're in the hotels. So I had my own private sauna in several of my hotel rooms.
So we're talking like you're in a spa, the wooden room, but the steam, the sauna.
Yes.
Okay.
The sauna in the hotel room. So let me start at the, we started in Oulu and we spent some time with, our friends from Visit Oulu and, they took us around and we did, another craft workshop, which is one of my favorite things, to do in Finland, is to make handicrafts. And we got to make these little wooden, birds where you put them together like little puzzle pieces and you paint them first. It's like watercolors and mine turned out so pretty, but it's so fun and such a neat thing to do. Last time I was there, I did a couple metal, we get to learn about metal crafts and, so this time was a little bit different and that was wonderful. We ate at several wonderful restaurants in town. And when we left, we took the train to Rovaniemi. And now I should mention here, you can take the train from Helsinki up to Rovaniemi, the Santa Claus Express.
Cute.
go see Santa. But we chose to fly to Oulu and then just do one portion of it on the train.
How long of a train ride would it be and how long was it then?
I want to say it's 6 hours off the top of my head. Please don't shoot me if I'm rusty on that, but I think it's about 6 hours.
Okay.
I think it was a little bit too long to do and to fit everything in that day. Let's see. Plus, there was just so many of us. I should mention, like, the Helsinki airport is unlike any other airport I've ever been. It's probably like the cleanest, nicest, quietest, picture quiet airports. Tons of people, but still just silent. I know this is hard to imagine.
Is it just a cultural thing? I mean,
it's a cultural thing. It very much is a cultural thing. And even in the airport in Oulu, I had no problem locating the group of ladies that I was from like 8 gates away. I could hear the Americans chatting. It's just it's a completely different culture. Finnish people love their space. They were social distancing before COVID was a thing, and they love their quiet. And, it's really, really apparent. Everyone's super respectful in the airports. The shops in the Helsinki airport are incredible. I mean, there's a high-end thrift store attached to a cafe in there. There are some pretty cute little boutiques that you can shop at. And music is such a big part of Finnish culture that like the first time I flew in, I was really surprised to hear live music right away. You could hear someone playing a guitar and singing, and you can actually hear it because it's not muted out by the sound.
Normally all the noise.
An airport. So it's beautiful, beautiful airport. The Oulu airport is a little bit smaller. Very easy to get around. The bathrooms have nature sounds.
Oh.
You can hear birds. And, like, it's really
interesting. They don't want you to hear any rude sounds in the bathroom.
Water bottle fill stations everywhere as far as the eye can see.
Nice.
They've got probably the most high-tech scanners. And I've now since seen them several other airports, but flying into Helsinki and out of Helsinki was amazing because their x-ray machine, you could read the stickers on my water bottle.
Wow.
The picture, you could just see everything. And it was incredible.
Oulu, did you spend time there or was it just a jumping off point?
We spent a few nights there and toured a couple different properties. I'd spent more time there the last visit, definitely. Okay. But it was nice to get to see a few of the properties that we could visit there in the winter and have people stay at either in lieu of going up to Rovaniemi and spending your whole time there. Cause it is such a big local tourist destination for not just Finnish people, but for surrounding countries to come visit Santa Claus in the winter time. Okay. So the prices might be a little high in peak season, or occupancy might be a little high on those properties. And Oulu is a really great spot to stay and then maybe do a day trip or go up there for a few days and then come back. It's a really wonderful location in Finland to easily reach quite a few things. So it's like Anchorage of Finland.
Gotcha.
And they're the capital of culture. They won capital of culture for 2024, I should mention.
In the world or in Finland?
Yeah, for their the host this year. Or
cool. So I'm trying to picture Finland because I really don't know much about Finland, to be honest. So
I'm sorry, it's for 2026.
Oh,
I got ahead of myself.
Okay, so preemptively they won. So what else is, what other kind of stuff did you do there if you were there a couple of days?
So we went to, we did the crafting, and we went out and toured some properties and we saw there's a really, I think it would be a wonderful place for like a wellness ladies retreat. There's a bunch of artists and they have all their workshops in one area in Oulu. There's some saunas there. There are a couple places to stay. It's a really neat little area. So, and then we headed out on the train and that was really the biggest focus of this trip for me was spending time in Rovaniemi.
Okay. So
went up there.
That's where you meet Santa Claus?
Yes. That's where we meet Santa Claus. We did go visit a husky farm, and I got to drive. I know, Sandy, you and I did this. It was a little bit different in Alaska. It was these dogs are much faster.
Oh, really?
Much, much faster. And I was...
Are they really huskies?
Yes.
Oh, so they're bigger too then. Yeah.
Okay. And so I was standing up driving for over for an hour. It was incredible. And they fed us, the family that owns the farm. There was over 100 dogs there, and they had a bunch of puppies. So, well, the puppies were more like juvenile delinquents. They were they were in that naughty dog stage of life. But it was wonderful. And they fed us homemade soup. And it's all part of the experience when you got to visit this farm. You get a home-cooked meal. And I have to say, some of the absolute best food that I've ever had traveling, I've had in Finland. And anytime you can get a home cooked meal from scratch, you know everything is going to be from scratch. It's a wonderful experience. It really enriches the day, and it's a great thing to do whether you're a solo traveler or a couple or a family. I would put this on. I wouldn't hesitate to put this on anybody's itinerary. The visit to the Husky Farm. Top notch. And then we also went to see a reindeer farm and got to ride in a reindeer sled. Not once, but twice. Huh. I did it again at Santa's Village, but this was a little bit more of a unique experience. And again, they fed us in one of the traditional teepees that's got this beautiful, you're thinking teepee, think of a restaurant inside of a giant teepee. It's like a yurt. It's a yurt, okay. Traditional yurt. And there, the food was, again, homemade from scratch. We had just spent time out and this is where you would typically do this ride and hope to see the Northern Lights. Unfortunately, that night we did not see the Northern Lights, but it was so beautiful. The snow was sparkling. Like there was glitter everywhere. I have the best pictures with these reindeer. It's almost like they posed.
Nice.
It was just truly magical, and they've got lights shining up. So they've got the green and blue lights, even though we didn't have Northern Lights, the trees were kind of green and blue illuminated around with the snow. And we're thinking, we've been to Alaska. I grew up in snow and in Wisconsin. I think there's something, this might be just whimsical magic from being in Finland, but I think there's something super special about that snow up in Rovaniemi. It's like, it's almost like thicker, fluffier snow than what you'll see. Wait, see some of the pictures that I took up in Isoyete. We went to a couple of the ski lodges up there and spent some time there, and that was so much fun. You can get accommodations. You can get in the hotel, which is attached to the restaurant, or you can have what we did. We did our own cabin, and so we had three rooms in this cabin. We had our own sauna, and we all shared. And there was a fireplace, and we were connected to another. We actually had both sides of the duplex, three bedrooms on each side, and two saunas, and a full kitchen area. And just right outside in the back window is the most. You see those pictures, the postcards, and you think, "Oh, this is photoshopped." My pictures look exactly like the postcards. And we're talking 2 or 3 inches of snow on the branches of these trees and just the most whimsical, magical winter scene that you could even possibly imagine. And it's just right there. I mean, you're just wandering down the trail into this winter wonderland. And it was pretty incredible. Let's see, what else did it? We went out to the Bear's Den, which was featured on, I think, The Bachelor. I'm not sure. One of those dating shows, they went out to the Bear's Den. And this is the private cabin dinner experience. So this would be great for a bachelor party, for a wedding, something like that, where you go out there or just if you were your honeymoon type thing. And we had a hosted dinner out in this beautiful log cabin. And then we had our own private outdoor wood burning sauna, which is I love all Finnish saunas, but the wood burning ones, the traditional ones, are my favorite. And it was right down by the water, so we had to walk down this snowy path to get down there in our swim stuff with our little flippy floppies on. And we get in and we did the sauna, and then we walked right down the little path and went right into the water. They had cut a square into the ice, the frozen.
What? Why would you do that?
And so we did the cold plunge, and then we went back in, and I did it like two or three times. It was crazy.
Really?
And I can't explain. God. There's something so invigorating about sauna. It's so good for your health. It's good for your mental health, your physical health. It really converted me. Before I started going to Finland, I was not a sauna fan. I would avoid it. But now, I mean, I joined a gym just to have access to the sauna. That's such a big, perfect activity for wellness, or just, you know, something you can do inside, George, where you're not.
I'm always nervous about the plunge pools, though. You know, like I don't go and jump in the.
It was a little cordoned off area with like a. I mean, it was totally safe. There was a.
No, not that. I just can't imagine dunking myself in ice. Well, I guess I have before, but, you know, like, I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
It's more than kind of.
And oh my gosh, I skipped right over one of the coolest things that we did before we went to Rovaniemi. We went out to, we got to ride in it's the only class one icebreaker that civilians are allowed on, called the Sampo. It was the coolest cruise I've ever done in my life.
That does sound cool.
It was amazing, Georgia. We did the tour, walked all the way around, got to see the old, we were in the old cabin, the old captain's cabin area for our little VIP section. We went downstairs to the engine room. We put on these wet suits. We looked like giant rock lobsters. I mean, I can't even describe what the suit looked like on me. It was crazy. I had like two guys helping me get dressed. And then waddled up the thing and went off, and we went and we did an ice float outside in the actual water. And they like, it's real awkward. It's like they had to push me off, and then
you're floating in the water in your
wetsuit? Yes. In the wetsuit, floating out just in the water that had just been broken by the icebreaker while we were cruising. And you're just out there.
And you're how just, cold is that, though? Even with a wetsuit, it has to be frozen.
It really wasn't. It wasn't frozen. It wasn't cold at all. It was exciting.
Do you have like a hood on? I mean, like
the suit, like maybe that's the picture that I'll put on this podcast, but like it covers everything except for your face. Okay. Right? So you're just,
Sandy,
you're just floating there.
Did you ever watch the TV show Gumby?
Yeah. I looked like Gumby.
You look like a red Gumby, basically.
Basically a red Gumby. George, that's exactly right. You would have loved this. That you get to see the crew. You get such an in-depth little tour of this. And again, amazing soup and stew. And they're feeding us everywhere we go. So this was, all of these activities include food.
Sounds like they have to keep you like, you know, fed so that you can have your body fat.
It really truly is not cold. It was not cold at all. Everybody loved it. I have a really cool picture out because we got to walk out on the ice and you get to act like you're pulling the ship with the rope. I have this really cool picture of me pulling this
Are you in the suit? Can we use that picture?
I wasn't in the suit when I was pulling, when I was floating, I was in the suit. I was in my like little snow gear. I will say this trip, I was visiting a couple very cold parts of the world on this trip. So shopping for this was a lesson in itself. I feel like I took a 6-month course on how to pack for cold weather.
Yeah, well, that's good, because I know when we went to Fairbanks, I feel like I didn't really need a whole, you know, like it just didn't, it didn't seem like we needed extra stuff other than like what you'd normally have wintery. You know?
I didn't really, I mean, growing up in Wisconsin, I always thought that I know how to dress for cold weather, but the quality of the fabric and the type of the fabric you have on really makes a difference. And having pure wool will save you. And it keeps you from having to look like the kid in A Christmas Story.
Well, your arms you go outside.
Because if you're wearing proper real wool, it's you can still move and you're mobile and you don't look like you're bundled up and waiting for the snowpocalypse or the Stay Puft Marshmallow Kid. But yeah, so that was probably one of my favorite things we did was the Sampo. And I can't wait to take a group back and do that again.
Let's see what else. Cool.
We went to Santa Claus. We went to his village and went to the post office. And we had VIP. So you can arrange it in advance. We can arrange for our groups to have access right away with Santa, which is, you definitely want that, because the line, even when we got done, we were the first people to see him, but by the time we got done, that line was insane. It would make Disney lines cry.
Wow. And
I swear this man is the real Santa Claus. He had an answer for every question. He knew things I don't think he would have known if he wasn't Santa. But the post office was really cool because there are two, you can buy tons of postcards and cards there, and you can pay to have Santa send a letter to somebody. I think it was about $15. And there's actually a website and a number you can call and have that done from home too. But I bought, I don't know, $300 worth of cards and wrote them all out. And I thought, well, this is crazy because am I going to carry these all home? No, you don't need to, because there are two mailboxes there. One of them is a regular mailbox where it's going to go out right away. And the other one, they hold them all for you and they send them in time to be there right before Christmas.
So you did this back in like February or March and people are going to get some cards in a couple months. So, do you even remember who all
I don't even remember. So I had a list at one point in time. I was organized with this and I had a list, but it's just going to be a surprise for everybody involved.
Well, that's cool. I mean, I know you do a lot of research when you do stuff like that. So it's cool that you had that ready, you know, like you knew you wanted to do that.
I was like ready. And the one thing I didn't do that I wish I had, well, maybe not, because handwritten is always more personal, but have pre-printed address labels.
That took you a while to address.
My goodness. But it did keep me out of the shops, because there's a lot of really cool shops there at Santa's Village, and you could easily do some damage. This is a part of the world where if you're looking to buy wool, cashmere, very well made, anything with any type of decoration you want with reindeer antlers or anything like that, knives, anything like this you want to buy, you're going to want to bring home. And boy, I could have spent some unallotted funds. Nice. I did buy one poncho that looks a little bit like it's a green wool, traditional Sami Finnish poncho. It looks a little bit like something that Anna.
I'll have to send you a picture of the poncho Owen bought in Alaska at the state fair. Okay, side note, just remind me. Okay, cool. So you went to a Snowman World ice bar?
Yeah, so Snowman World is it's kind of a neat family activity. It's different every year. It's carved all out of ice and snow, different scenes. And there was like an Alice in Wonderland themed room with tables and chairs carved out of ice. And there's a bar in there that you can get your little drinky poos. And then outside you have like sledding and ice skating on these like metal stand-up sleds that you stand on that skate on the ice, and family activities, fun things to do. There's a train that goes out on the ice and goes around, and you can get in the train and do the train and Northern Lights viewing and cabins that have the glass ceilings so that you can see the lights all out in this. And this is a resort that this is at a resort that normally in the summertime would have they would have you know, summer activities. You would swim here. You'd rent these cabins and do water sports. And so it's nice that this is a double use, double purpose for this property. And so inside they had like this giant ice slide that we all climbed up, and it was great to see all these women ranging in age from like 40 to 60 sliding down the dragon ice slide inside this snowman village. But you can eat dinner in there on the snow. There's a little pop-up restaurant that they put in there, and just a lot of fun little ice and snow activities. And also I should mention here, further out in another town in Finland is a giant snow village carved with these intricate sculptures, kind of like what we saw the ice sculpture contest that's done every year. And this past year it was like Nordic theme, so there was like the Norse mythology, so it was like Odin, Thor, and really, really cool. Lots of winter activities. You can go snowmobiling if you're not into the dogs or the reindeer. I didn't do that this trip. Probably next trip I'll do that. There's just tons of stuff to do, and this was all indoors, George, so it wasn't ice and snow, but you weren't cold.
Huh? Okay, I'm good.
So how does Finland kind of compare to other places, like cost wise is this a kind of pricier place? I know we've talked about places before that, you know, I don't know, just like what are we thinking?
I think it's very affordable.
Really?
And, okay. Yes. And, you know, there are some higher end, some of the more beautiful, accommodations out at the ski lodge or near the ski lodge, Suyete, where you're kind of up in this cabin on stilts, if you will, that you're going up the stairs to get to, and you have your own private fireplace, and it's just absolutely stunningly beautiful. That's a little more expensive, and as it should be. And of course the ice igloos. I didn't even mention the igloos. There are igloos that you can stay in, the glass igloos out to watch the northern lights, and those are priced accordingly, especially during season. But there are ways that Finland is exceptionally affordable. I think doing what I did, doing off season, but you're still getting the winter activities. Staying at some of these properties I toured that are just a little bit out of the way, where you can still get to where you need to go, and there's enough activities for the family. I think it's a good price performer for a destination. And I'm not saying that just because I'm biased and I love Finland, because I'm 37% Finnish. But I do think it's a great alternative, maybe instead of doing the same winter things that everyone does.
Yeah.
It's a new destination pretty much for American tourism. They haven't really marketed to us in the past. And so this is, you know, our first foot in the door. I couldn't stay at a hotel in the town I live in for less than what I paid I could stay in Finland for less than what I would pay to stay here. Helps answer your question.
That's interesting, because everything sounds so, like, you know, a sauna in our room and stuff, that it makes it sound like it's going to be a lot, but it's good to know that you can put a package together that's like, you know, that would be really good like that. That's cool.
And especially depending on the time of year. Now, of course, Christmas week.
Probably
all of the month of December is not the time to be in Rovaniemi. You know, you want to be just a little bit out and then go in for a day and then get out of there if you don't want lots of people. But there are ways to do this and still have that Christmassy or that winter experience that people want. And it was just as magical for me to go see Santa in February.
Because, December. You know.
Maybe even more so, because I'm not a fan of 50,000 other people.
So did you ever rent a car and drive yourself around, or how does what's
no
the best way to do that?
Okay. No. I had the great fortune of being with a group, and when I go back I'll take a small group, and I will utilize the same shuttle company, the same company to put together this package, and with our transportation. So we have driver. You can drive there, but driving in snow, not for people who haven't done it before.
It's not for me, for sure.
Yeah, we actually did. Our driver, Anderson, is amazing. We actually had him the same company we were with when I was there before in the summertime. We lost a tire. And he had to go get the tire, like, rolled. Okay. And he had to go get it and roll it back and, you know, put it on. And I'm just so glad it was somebody else doing this and not me. I just could not imagine doing this I'm a passenger princess for life. So I think, in keeping with that wellness theme, with the relaxation of the sauna and, and the enjoyability of, you want to have a nice little adult beverage. I think having your own driver is definitely
the
way to go.
How long did it take you to get to Finland? And we're talking from the west coast of the US, right? So,
oh my God, I'm trying to think, how long was my flight?
I'm just wondering how hard it is to get there. Like would people want to do like 10 days because it takes longer to get there, or would a week be okay? Or
I would want to do longer. And it's so affordable. It's so much more affordable that I think the length of time, and especially if you're moving around, if you maybe stay, you know, if you want to go to the higher end places a few nights, you know, start out maybe like don't stay in the igloo all 10 nights. For a couple nights and do one of these other properties, but 12 hours. Direct from Seattle, but I didn't go that way. I think I flew to Amsterdam because I was stashing a bag at the Amsterdam airport for the River Cruise Expo after this.
Yeah.
So I flew to Amsterdam first, stored my luggage in long-term storage, and then flew.
Okay.
Helsinki, because I flew to Norway, then from there to Helsinki. But that was my little route. I decided I wasn't going to, because I didn't want to haul extra luggage. It was worth the extra flight to me.
Nice.
But yeah, not too bad flight wise, and definitely worth it when you get there.
What is the Arctic bus route?
Oh, so when I got done with my time in Rovaniemi, I split off from the group. Everyone else went home. Mm-hmm. And I went over to Norway, and I took, there's a bus you can take that goes from Rovaniemi to Tromsø and actually stops several other places, but it's such a beautiful bus ride. I know it's kind of a little bit more Norway than it is Finland, but I had to put it on here because you can catch it in Rovaniemi, and that's what I did and took.
That's cool. Nice. Huh. All right. Well, people will have to come back next week to hear about Norway since you were up there. Is there anything else that you want to make sure you mention that we haven't touched on?
Did I get all the notes on there? I think of bullet points. Did we cover everything?
I think we did. Snow angels? Is that just you laying down in the snow?
Yes. So out in the when we were up in Isosiete, at the ski lodge, that resort is beautiful. And we had our own little sauna. We would stay in the sauna, and then we didn't have a body of water to go plunge in. So we went outside and just fell back into the snowbank and made snow angels in our swimsuits. It was a lot of fun. I know I sound crazy.
You're all about this right now.
Totally all about this. Oh,
okay. Maybe I'll have to try it sometime. I don't know. Maybe.
You would have fun. Come to Finland with me.
So the thing that I could see myself, the reason I could see myself doing it is because I get hot and, you know, I'm of an age and I could see myself like falling down in snow because I'm just freaking hot, you know? So
I forgot the best part about sauna and ice and snow angels and plunge culture in Finland. There are these things called long drinks. They were made for the Olympics one year. And I guess the Finnish people love them so much, they've just kept them. And so the original is like a grapefruit and gin. Then they have cranberry and they have pineapple and peach. And they're all delicious. They're amazing. But it's tradition in Finland where you take a beer or a long drink into the sauna.
Okay.
So you drink, and then you see, this is now making more sense to you. How
this is now I get it.
After a few, you'd want to go out and jump in the snow.
Well, I could see. I mean, yeah, there are some nights where I'm just like hot, and I could see myself jumping in.
George is like, this podcast is taking a turn.
Going off the rails. All right, cool. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of George, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.